today's date's the 22nd of October. There's been a little bit of a delay in getting this call going compared to our previous ones, but we'll get back on track going forward. This shareholder call will follow the general agenda that we've set out in previous calls. We'll do some introductions, go through a summary of current activities, talk about next steps. Rob will have some points on financing to discuss, and then we'll deal with some questions at the end that we've received by phone call and by email. So with that, I will dive right in. Start with some introductions. My name is Mike Ferguson. I'm the president and CEO of the company. I'm here in the conference room with Rob Thoray, our CFO, Deb Morsky, our VP Corporate Services, and Paul Neufeld, our project manager. On the line are our directors, Mike Mueller, Cal Redlick, and Paul Martin. Thanks, everybody, for taking the time to dial in and be part of the call. So we'll move into the summary of current activities, and I'll run through what's been going on recently here before we get into the discussion around next steps. So I want to start this section with a summary of what's going on at GenSource. We try to repeat this as much as possible to be sure that our message is getting across. So if this is a little bit repetitive, that's probably because it is. Because our approach to potash development is different than others, the situation at GenSource is unique. We don't follow a typical development path. GenSource is here to become a new and independent producer of potash. That's our stated goal. We are doing so in a new way, employing proven selective solution mining techniques that, number one, allow us to be significantly more environmentally sustainable than other potash operations, and number two, allows us to scale the projects down to a very small size. In scaling the projects down to just our nominal 250,000 ton per year production, we create a modular approach to potash development, one module at a time. Further, our business model is to have 100% of the production from a module spoken for or pre-sold in advance of constructing that module. This lets us avoid market risk and helps with a smoother entry into the tightly controlled potash industry. The projects that we have on the go right now are named Vanguard 1 and Tagaski. There's two of them officially. Both will be located within the area of our two mineral leases, KL244 and KL245, in south-central Saskatchewan. On the Tagaski project, we'll go through some recent activity there. All of our activities, or all of our efforts here recently, have been on the Tagaski project. A reminder that the Tagaski project is the name for the project near the town of Tagaski in the RM of Huron here in Saskatchewan. With this, we are respecting the tradition of naming Saskatchewan potash mines after their nearest towns. Obviously, the small village of Tagaski is the closest town to the plant site. We've had a number of significant events with respect to the Tagaski project recently. Number one, in May this year, we announced that the Tagaski project has an off-taker and a strategic investor. Further, that same news release disclosed that the off-taker is interested in a significant equity ownership stake in the project. Number three, last week we announced the closing of a royalty sale for the Tagaski project. The royalty was sold to or taken up by two separate investors. One investor is the Tagaski off-taker, and the other investor is the strategic investor mentioned previously and mentioned in our May 22nd news release. The royalty entitles the royalty owners to a 2% gross royalty for the life of the Tagaski project. Consideration paid for the royalty was $6 million U.S. That was announced last week. Last week, we also announced that we had completed a private placement, a small private placement, on a part and parcel basis with the royalty sale. A total of $1.1 million U.S. was raised at a share price of 13 cents per share. Prior to the announcement, we were trading at 11.5 cents. The shares were purchased by the Tagaski Strategic Investor and Rock Global, our financial advisor. Further, last Friday, we completed the process to formally mandate KfW IPEX Bank as the lead arranger for the senior debt portion of the Tagaski project finance package. KfW IPEX Bank is a very large international bank headquartered in Germany. They have a long and impressive track record in project finance, and we are extremely pleased to be working with them as our senior lender. So the result of all this, just to summarize where we stand now, the result of all this is that we have all the right partners at the table now, all aligned and vested to move the Tagaski project into final financing and then construction. Just to be very clear, we have, number one, an off-taker who will purchase 100% of the production from the facility. Number two, we have two equity investors, one of which is the off-taker, interested in a combined 58% of the required equity to construct the project. The very same two equity investors are now invested in the project itself, upfront through the royalty sale and the private placement. This is a critical step, as it displays the last point's critical step, as it displays a very clear commitment to the project by our future equity partners in the project, a commitment upfront at this stage. It's important that our shareholders see and understand this, and it's very important that the senior lenders, the banks undertaking the debt financing, also see this commitment. So that's been our recent activities, or our current activities. As I said, all of it has been on the Tagaski project. If we move on and discuss next steps now, we start to move ahead. So now Tagaski will move into the final detailed due diligence phase, where independent reviews will be completed, focusing on the potash market and the MOP pricing for that product, specifically in the U.S. markets that we're planning to send this product to. There will be reviews of the engineering of the project to date and the required engineering to complete it. And there will be a review of the financial modeling and systems interfacing completed as part of the feasibility study, as well as the entire a review of the entire risk assessment that was completed as part of the feasibility study. Additionally, we'll continue to work with the Vanguard One offtaker to advance financing discussions for that project. However, our primary focus is the Tagaski project. There's no question. The detailed due diligence phase is an intensive and expensive process, and that starts now. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Rob and talk a little, have him talk a little bit about financing.
Thanks, Mike. Rob Thoray here. Welcome, everybody, this afternoon. Thanks for joining us on this call. Just want to walk through a few things that we have planned as it relates to financing going forward. So number one, the big topic du jour is project finance. Sounds easy to say. If you say it really quickly, it sounds very easy. But in fact, it's a very complicated and detailed process that is run by the banking system. But project finance is all about structuring a financial package on a non-recourse basis that is made up of both debt and equity, and it's structured for specific long-term infrastructure type of project. And that is exactly what the Tagaski project is. It's a long-term, very strategic, and almost rhymes with an infrastructure type situation. The future cash flows of the project that hasn't been built yet, in essence, is what secures the financial package. So the financing that we're undertaking is not secured by anything other than the future cash flows that the project is going to generate. And they'll generate pretty considerable cash flows, I might add. So in understanding what that financial package is and how it works, It has to work for both the equity providers and the senior debt providers. They both have to work in tandem in order to make it viable for everybody that are supporting and are participating in the project development. So, as Mike's already said, we're delighted to have a KfW IPEX Bank being our leader, the senior leading entity for our lending group. The lending group's likely to be made up of two, perhaps three other well-known institutions, with Canada's Export Development Bank expressing interest in participating in the project as well. The general financing structure will comprise approximately 60% of senior debt with approximately 40% equity requirement. The exact leverage factor has not yet been determined, but it'll be firmly set as we go through risk analysis and as we look at the costing of the project going forwards. So for the purpose of the call today, I can summarize that the approximate total debt facility will approach $180 million. A significant, and this is important, this is really important, a significant part of the facility will have export credit agency guarantees, and this lowers the risks to senior lenders and the equity providers. The lowered risk results in lower interest cost and ultimate risk to the Tagaski project. Also, very important, KfW, as the lead bank, plans to support the project further with a significant take and hold commitment on the debt. This means that KfW will own a majority of the senior debt itself as a whole. So this gives GemSource, the team, and our equity providers enormous confidence and comfort with the commitment to the project and to the shareholders of the equity group under the contemplated joint venture structure for the Tagaski project. We've discussed in the past that the equity partners making up the project will include three entities: GemSource, the project offtaker, and the strategic third-party investor. These three groups, they'll be responsible for the remaining 40% of the financial structure. So to clarify, we have an all-in project cost. And when I say all-in, that's all costs to build the project and finance it going forwards. So we have an all-cost assumption of $265 million. Approximately $230 million of that is for the procurement, construction, and completion of the project, the facility itself. The $265 also includes interest during construction because we have an interest meter running while we're building the project. It also includes debt commitment fees and all other closing costs. So if we assume $180 million of senior debt, that means approximately $85 million is to be made up from the three equity owners. So we stated that the offtake partner has expressed that they would like to own 25% of the equity. The third strategic third-party investor is committed to 33%. That's the 58% equity ownership to date. And GemSource will make up the remaining 42% of the equity commitments. So going forwards, the financing part as it relates to GemSource is very, very critical. There's, as Mike has mentioned, there's significant cost to going through the whole due diligence process and putting a banking facility together, a debt facility together. And these costs go towards paying third-party audits, market opinions, technical reviews, and on and on and on. There's quite an exhaustive string of checks and balances that are put in place to make sure that everything goes off as expected. We're really, really pleased. We're ecstatic, as a matter of fact, that with the closing of our royalty and part and parcel placements announced last week, that we're in an excellent capital position to move through forwards through all components of the financing process. I'd also like to add that it's quite honor. We're quite honored to have our partners invested in GenSource at the GenSource company level and at the project level as early as they have invested. That shows great confidence, and the fact is, with their help, they are helping us get through the completion of the financing, which is really, really critical. So what are some of the implications for GenSource into the future? We do have an equity commitment to fill for the Tegaski project. To that end, next week, we're starting a roadshow that'll take us through the U.S. and continental Europe. It's important to understand, though, that this is an awareness campaign or a marketing campaign. It's what's technically called a non-deal roadshow. So what we're doing is going and visiting capital sources, investors that have expressed interest in GenSource, want to understand our next steps are and how we're moving forwards. It also allows us to talk to new potential investors, provide them with a clear sight, a clear path as to how we're proceeding and going forwards. And this will take us into the Christmas season. We will then look towards raising or pricing and raising our tranche of capital for the completion of the financing package early in the new year. And that's coming on as quickly. We're moving quite rapidly. And it's very, very exciting times for all of us. And I'd like to thank everybody listening and all our supporters. A heartfelt thank you for continuing to stick with us and support us. I can tell you that we do really appreciate it. And look forward to chatting with yourselves in the future. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to myself, Mike, Paul, or Deb. With that, I will hand it back to Mike, and he can continue on with the call.
Thanks, Rob. So we've had a number of questions, as we normally do. The phone lines and email lines here are quite active with investors calling in with comments and suggestions and questions continuously, and that's a good thing. So the first item I'd like to deal with, we've received, again, a number of questions about the identity of Tegaski's off-taker and strategic investor. And we'll say again that we hope soon to be in a position to name both the off-taker and the strategic investor. But we're not in a position to do that right now. We ask for your continued understanding that these groups, particularly the off-taker, are existing fertilizer industry players, and the potash industry is a very tightly controlled one on the supply side. Therefore, the investors are proceeding carefully to ensure that the existing supplies are not put at risk. We'll release the names of the off-taker and the investor as soon as they are comfortable in doing so. Another question was, what happened to Vanguard 1? I mentioned Vanguard 1 a little earlier. Vanguard 1 still exists, and the off-take agreement for Vanguard 1 is still valid and in force. The off-taker is still there and still an industry player. However, recent significant movements to advance the Tegaski project have overtaken Vanguard 1. So while it still exists, Vanguard 1 will not be the first project to be implemented on our leases. Another question, a couple of questions around why the royalty sale? And the answer to that is, I think, fairly straightforward. The main focus for this financing was to obtain the needed capital to complete all the banking due diligence work to a successful financial close. at the financial close, of course, that's when we march into construction on the entire project. So the focus was to get to raise the financing to make it through the bank due diligence process. Secondarily, we wanted to have the off-taker and the strategic investor invested in the project. As we looked at options, it became clear that the sale of a royalty was a method that accomplished both goals while being non-dilutive to existing shareholders. That last part is key for us, as dilution is a major concern for shareholders. Another question was, what happened to EDC? Rob touched on EDC a little bit earlier as well. We previously mentioned EDC, which is the Export Development Canada Corporation, as part of the financing effort. EDC is still in the picture and is a potential participant in the financing. But we have elected to mandate KfW IPEX Bank as the lead arranger to take advantage of their expertise in the project finance field, their international experience, as well as their network of banks that they work with as partners. KfW will now take the lead in defining the other banks that become involved as part of the group, and we hope that EDC will be amongst that list. That is the end of the questions that we've received, and that also brings us to the end of the call here today.
Drilling?
We didn't talk about drilling. Next, under next steps. Pardon me, we forgot a little area here. This fall, as an awareness, we will be drilling another well on the plant site at the for the Tagaski project. It's an exploration well to further define the geology in the area. It happens to fit in nicely with the other holes that we've drilled. And will fill in a lot of good data for us and hopefully improve resources and reserves in the region. It'll also be drilled a little bit deeper to test the underlying formations as well. So that's some of the next steps coming up also. Now, if I haven't forgotten anything else, I think that brings us to the end of the call here for today. We thank you for your time dialing in and listening. If you have any further questions, I'll repeat what Rob said. You're welcome to call or email the office, any one of us, at any time. We're happy to discuss your questions. With that, we'll say thanks very much and have a good rest of your day. Bye-bye.